you that don't know me, my name is Diane. Well, it's really Diana. But whatever you call me, I'll answer. My husband is Philip. And if God's willing, we make it to July, we'll be married 64 years. Yeah. Amen. I'm sure he's had to pray many a prayer. God, help me put up with her. And that's okay, because that's what we should do. Instead of running to mama and running to daddy, we need to run to Jesus. Down on our knees. Whew. If you got your Bibles, turn them to Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Starting with the first verse. Whoop, guess I better put some glasses on. I won't be seeing nothing. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And saith, Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will call breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay shins upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied there a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the shins of the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them about, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon thee slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, and exceedingly a great army. Precious Heavenly Father, as I come to thee this morning, I would thank you first of all for the mighty power of God. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, let me decrease, let you increase. Not let one word flow through my mouth that is not of you, but only of you. And Lord, I ask now that you take this word and use it for your honor and for your precious glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Many years ago, well, first of all, let me back it up. Probably pretty within a few months, my husband and I have traveled several churches. We've been preaching for almost 50 years. I was young. Now I'm old, let me tell you. But several years ago, some of you have heard me say my mom died when I was 5 years old, and my aunt basically raised me. And anyway, she was a Pentecostal Holy Ghost-filled woman. Her door was never closed, but it was always open. It didn't matter who you were, what you looked like, or how you talked. You were welcome. Well, anyway, my husband and I, we were scheduled to preach a youth camp in Wisconsin Rapids. And the Lord, in that time when you sign it, when you say, yes, I'll do it, I always say if it be the Lord's will, because that's Bible. Bible says we should say, God, if it's your will. Because you know what? What's your will might not be God's will. Anyway, we were scheduled to preach the youth camp that year. And it was going to go from Friday through Saturday, the next following Saturday. In between that time, my aunt got cancer. She's a woman that had told everybody about God, and she got cancer of the tongue and of the throat. Now, I'll be honest with you, I said, God, why in this world? She talks about you all the time. How's she going to talk? And a lady came to me. Now, I'm used to saying brother and sister, so I'll probably say that. She came to me and she said, Sister Diane, did you ever stop and think that was the last thing that the devil could take from her was her speech? But God had provided, because my husband is deaf, that my aunt learned how to talk sign language. So she would tell me what to tell them. And I was the interpreter. Glory to God. Whew! The devil thought he won the battle, but he lost another one. Well, anyway, she got bad. And I knew I was scheduled to preach this revival. And she was getting weaker and weaker. And I said to, I laid on that old couch. We had to end up moving her into our home. So we took our living room, we turned it into a bedroom for her, which I didn't care. That didn't make no difference to me. A home is a home. Who's there is there. But anyway, I laid on that couch that night and I said, Lord, there is no way I can leave her and go preach for this youth camp. I can't leave her. I can't do that. I just know in my heart, I know in my heart I can't do that. So the next morning, I said to her after we got up and got going, I said, I'm going to call and tell them I can't do the youth camp. She turned and looked at me and she said, you most certainly will not. She said, God comes first before all things. You will go, and you will do what God tells you to do. Well, that was like a slap right in my face. I battled that. I'll be honest with you, I battled it, because my heart did not want to leave her. So I battled. I said, God, how can I do this? 2 days later, or a day or two later, the hospice nurse came, and she walks in, and she said to my aunt, how you doing, you know, the whole bit. And my aunt says to her, what do you think about me going to youth camp? I went, oh, my. She said, Stella, that is my aunt's name, I think you can do whatever you want to do. So let me tell you, youth camp time came. We took the van. We took all the seats out except the first two. We loaded all this equipment into that van. If there was a nick or a cranny, my husband had it packed. Let me tell you, him and my oldest granddaughter rode in that van. My daughter and my aunt and myself rode in my daughter's car, and it was packed, and we went to youth camp. We stayed in a small little cabin. If you've been to camps, you know what they're like. Whew. This is a little hard one for me. We stayed in that cabin. We got her all set up. My husband and I was in the one bed, and I had her all set up in the other bed that I could prop her up. And that first night of camp, the youth leader said to everybody, if there's anybody want to visit, and they called her Mother Hyatt, just let Sister Diane know. There was a young man that came to camp. He was either 18 or 19. I can't remember. All I can remember, he was really tall, or I'm really short. I don't know which. But he was really tall. Anyway, every day around 2 o'clock, he would knock on that cabin door and come in. He just said, nodded, I didn't know if he could talk or not. He'd come in, he'd go by her bed. Her hands were feeble. He would reach down, take her hand, kneel down on one knee with one knee up. He'd take her by the hand. She'd take her other little feeble hand and was patting his. Glory to God. Woo! Anyway, that young man had no idea what them pats was. Next day, he did that for the whole week. Every night after camp, she'd say, "Honey, what happened tonight?" I would tell her what happened. She'd say, "Thank you, Jesus." The next night, it was the same. Next day, it was the same thing. This went on till the last night of camp. That last night in camp, I was down praying with a young girl at the end, and all of a sudden, somebody dropped down beside me. It sounded like a truck went boom. I just kept on praying. Because I didn't feel to turn. I just kept praying with the young girl I was praying with. And all of a sudden, I turned around after I was done with praying with her, and there was that man on his knees. He wouldn't talk to none of the counselors. He wouldn't talk to the youth leader. He said he had no idea why he even found that camp or why he was even there. But God had a plan for that young man's life. He was messed up in a lot of things, I guess. I don't know. But that's what they told me afterwards. But you see, he had no idea. I feel like he had an old grandma that had prayed for him, an old grandma that had cried out for him. That's why the Spirit was drawing him to that old grandma. Glory to God. And when he took a hold of her hand, he had no idea that old grandma that was feeble on that bed was patting his hand. But what she felt down inside of her was still the power of God flowing through her. It may not have been when you look with the naked eye. You may look at her and said, "There's no way." But what that fire was in her, it still was going out. Whew. When I came in that night, she said, "What happened tonight, baby?" I said, "That young man," I didn't even know his name, "came to the Lord." She said, "Thank you, Jesus." Them little old feeble hands went up in the air. She said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." You see, children, it's not you, it's not me, but it's him. If I hadn't went to camp, that young man may never gave his heart to the Lord. But God had one more mission for her to do. A week and a half after we got home, she said, "Goodbye, Diane, but hello, Jesus." Hello, Jesus. Her fight had finished and it was over. We may not understand why God has us to do something, but he has a reason for it all. Let me tell you something, children. If you got a praying mom, a praying dad, a praying grandma, grandpa, hold on. You may run from God, but God's going to stop you somewhere. You may think you're hiding, but you ain't hid from nobody but yourself. When God told Ezekiel to go down and pray over those dead bones. Now, I'm probably going to get some backlash, and that's okay. I've had it before, and I'm sure I'll have it again. But when I say church, I don't mean just this church. I mean church in general. We have become those dried, dead bones. We've lost the vision of the coming King. We have lost the vision of being what God's called us to be. We have gave up on being where He's told us to be. We play church instead of having church. We don't obey what God tells us. We sit still instead of getting up and saying, I'll lift my hands, I'll praise the Lord. If nobody else does, that's okay. You just sit there. I can still do it. That's when I know I'm old, Brother Bruce. Takes a lot out of me. But we need to get a hold of God, children. And that goes church-wise. You can have, and I'm not against programs. I think they're great if it's of God. Let me make that clear. But you can have all the programs you want in a church. You can have the biggest bands or whatever you want. But if you ain't got God, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. If you don't feel the Spirit, do you ever think about how that sounded when them bones started rattling? Let me tell you, can you imagine what it would sound like if the power of God started from here and swept down through this whole congregation? Can you imagine what the rattling of them bones would be? The power of God has not changed. You and I have. You know, years ago, I don't think they have that, I don't know how, anyway, years ago, when you dated, your boyfriend drove the vehicle, well, we had trucks, boyfriend drove, and you sat right up against him. You didn't have that thing in the middle at then. You had one seat. Do you ever notice after you're married, after a while, he's still in the driver's seat, but you're over by the door? Do you think about that? That's how we are with God. He's still in the driver's seat. He didn't change. He's still right there. You and I have did this. And how we did it on our prayer life, you don't hear about fasting no more. When I grew up, there was foot washing. You don't hear about that no more either. Is it a pretty job? No. But it's a humbling job. If Jesus did it, aren't we supposed to do it? Am I above Him? I forget all about mics. We are to be examples. And we need to stand, church. I look around. And I see a lot of you worship during song service. A lot of you are praising God. And that's good because that's the time that you can praise Him and worship Him. But if you're down on your knees praying and seeking God for the congregation, you don't have to name names, just start praying. Lord, start from that side and sweep it through. Start from that side and bring it through. We need to be on fire for God. Not just one. We can't expect one to do it. We can't expect the choir to do it. But we, all of us, need to get a hold of God. If you think about it, Ezekiel, when God said, I go and tell them, he was obedient to the Spirit. Sometimes God tells you do things. Let me tell you, I'm the first to tell you, I've tried to pass it on to others. I'm guilty. I said, Lord, please, surely you don't want me to do that. Several years ago, we've traveled to a lot of churches, my husband and I, let me tell you. And we still do, just not as much. But several years ago, I was at a church. We were preaching. And when I was praying for people at the end, this young man came, and he probably stood that far from me. He said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "Not really." And he said, you could tell he was angry. I mean, you could really tell on his face. He said, "You don't?" And I said, "No, not really. I mean, we've been to a lot of churches. So some faces I remember, some I don't." Anyway, he said, "We were at the family camp, and you were there, and you were headed to the shower house, and you made a U-turn and came back, and you told me something." Well, that was a blank. I don't remember even doing it. I'm not saying I didn't. I'm just saying I don't remember. And he said, "Do you know how close I came to pasting you right in the face?" Well, let me tell you, I wanted to step back, but the Bible stand was right behind me. I couldn't go nowhere. So in my flesh, I'm praying under the breath. I said, "God, I don't know if he hits me if I'll stand here. I'm still human. My hand might automatically come up. I don't know. I'll be honest." So I kind of stepped as far as I could, which wasn't much. I said, "Well, let me ask you this." I was glad all the preachers were there, or the pastor was there. I said, "Let me ask you this question. What God told you that day, did it come to pass?" He said, "Well, yes." I said, "Well, God warned you ahead of time. He warned you whatever it was." As soon as he started talking, I could have told him what it was. I didn't remember him. I didn't even remember doing it. But you see, God didn't give me a chance to think, I guess. He just twirled me around, did it. Not everything God has had me do, I knew as soon as he started talking what God had told him. He said, "Well, I lost this and I lost that." And if I tell you what he lost, you'd be able to guess it too. But let me tell you something. God warned you ahead of time. And if you don't listen, you're going to suffer. I'll just be honest with you. And if people come to you and say you're called to do this or that, unless God has spoke to you directly, it's not God. God will tell you first. He told Ezekiel, "Go down to those dry bones." He told me, "You're going to preach that camp." He'd already gave me a message. He never gave me seven at one time, but he gives me one at a time. Probably knows I couldn't handle it all at once. But when he did, he knew already. He knew the battle that I was going to have if I had to leave her. God's seen all of that. But God knew he still had one thing left for her to do. Because that was always her prayer. "Lord, if there's anything left that I should do before you call me home, let me do it. And let me do it for you." That was her prayer. She never asked anything about that young man. She didn't care what he looked like here. All she cared about was what was in here. What was in here. And that's where God had taken a hold of. God took a hold of this and changed him. He went to the youth leader afterwards the next day. I found all this out later. And he sat down and talked to him. You see, God had to do some cleaning first. God had to do the cleaning. God did the cleaning. Not nobody else, but God. And when God did it, God cleansed him with the blood of Jesus Christ. And when that blood, oh, hallelujah, when it flowed down Calvary's mountain, it flowed for not only you and for me, but it flowed down that mountain for each and every one of us. Whew. And when it flows from the top to the bottom. It'll cleanse you from the inside out. And when he does it, man has to back it up. When God speaks, man has to back up. And children, let me tell you something. I'm used to small churches, I'll be honest with you. I'm a country girl. So little to me is okay. I was raised in little churches, little country churches. So when God said to me, it was for us to come here, I said, Lord, that church is big. I'm honest with you. And Lord, what can I do? What can I do to help them? Not that I've got to be important, because that's not me. I'm okay to be in the background. I don't need this to tell somebody about Jesus. I can tell them wherever I am. And God spoke to me because I had a battle with it, I'll be honest with you. Nothing against none of the people. I'm just so used to small. And the Lord said to me, I'm going to send you, and I'll tell you who to talk to. I will tell you. Now, I probably won't remember half the names, and that's okay, too. I use the excuse that I'm old, so, you know, it's okay. When you get there, you can use it, too. But we need to be able to go, because years ago I said, God, where you lead me, I will follow. Where you lead me, I will follow, and I'll go with you all the way. Was this on Ezekiel's plan to go down to the dry bones? No. But you see, God spoke. And he obeyed. And the biggest thing is the breath. You see, all them bones could come together. All them bones could mend. All the skin could come up. But it ain't worth a dime if you got no breath. But God said, I'm going to send you again. This time, I'm going to breathe the breath into them bones. And when I do, they're going to stand. I'm talking a lot of sign language, too. When they stand, they're going to come up as an army, the Israel army. God wants his children to get up and begin to stand and be on the army of the Lord. On the battlefield of the Lord. On the battlefield for the Lord. If you think about it, any of you that's been in the service, when you went, was you scared? Absolutely. But you went out and many times got sent to the front line. That's how God wants his children to be. Are you scared? Absolutely. But get on out there. Go on marching. Take your sword. If you can't carry this, carry it in here and march on that battlefield. March for God. Where he lead me, I will follow. He didn't say it wasn't going to get muddy, but he said, I'll take you through it. I'll hold you by the hand. I'll guide you all the way. It's not the name that's over a church door that's going to take any of us to heaven. But it's what we got down on the inside of us, and it's going to come on the outside. And there's times that I've got it out on the inside, and I can have church all by myself. I can have church washing dishes. I can have church, praise God, when I'm even mopping a floor. Glory to God. You don't have to be in a building to be a church. We should be that church on the outside, because many people will never pick up this word. But you can be that Bible. You don't have to wear a neon sign that flashes, I'm a Christian. Your life should be able to show that you are. Your talk should be able to show that you are. You shouldn't have to wear a big sign that tells nobody. They should see it. And if they don't see it, honey, there's something wrong. If somebody says you got it and you don't feel it, you ain't got it. Because you will feel it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Church, we need to pray for not only this church, but every church. Every church. I don't care what name of it is. We all need prayer. If you're here this morning, let me ask you this. If you go to sleep tonight and not wake up in the morning, where would you spend eternity? Where would you spend eternity? The Bible says there's a heaven to gain, but there's a hell to shun. There is a hell. I don't care what people say. Where will you spend eternity? Father, I don't know the hearts of anyone that's here today. And I don't need to know their heart, because you already know it. I don't need to know anything about them, because you already do. But Lord, I ask this morning that you cover us in that precious blood of the Lamb. And Lord, if there's anyone that's here that needs you in their life, I ask God that you let them kneel at that old-fashioned altar and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll serve you. Yes, Lord, I'll walk with you. Yes, Lord, keep me near you, Lord. Yes, I'll do what you want me to do. And Lord, I just ask this morning that you get us back on fire for you. Not to lift up man, but to lift up that name of Jesus. Lord, that we get on that battlefield and work for you. And knowing that we've done our best, that we have stood the test, and that you're satisfied with us. Lord, you know everyone that needs a touch. I don't, but you do. And I ask now that you reach out and touch in Jesus' name. Amen.